This is FM 91.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia. Tonight we'll be talking about permaculture, a well-known approach to gardening and agriculture, but tonight we'll apply it to humans. Here's a tune about one of the principles of human permaculture as applied to humans. Save yourself some yield.
It's somehow good for you. Got to get a result or two in the form of something real. Now if you're feeling stressed and not the best, and have trouble finding happiness, well, here's one thing I will suggest. Sustain yourself, yield. Sustain yourself, yield. Sustain your energy. Don't drain yourself, maintain yourself. Obtain yourself. Only yield, you could be making a bigger deal than what you eat for your next meal. You can't run on an empty tank. Ignore the stash of cash in your pocket. Just make a salad with some homegrown rocket. Just have to go out the back and pluck it. No need to go to the bank. You gotta work your days for stuff that pays. Not just money, but in many ways. It's time you clear away the haze. Maintain yourself a yield.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological. Earlier today, Susan and I zoomed all the way to southern India, where we spoke with Bernard Alonso. He's the author of Human Permaculture, a book published by New Society.
Bernard has taken the concept.
We'll get it together here. Of permaculture, which has to do with naturalist integrative land management, and he's applied those principles to people. He spoke with us about how permaculture principles can lead us to more integrated designs for our lives. The coughing you are hearing is not symptomatic of COVID-19. Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Corona Conscious Chico Certified Farmers Markets, with year-round markets on Wednesday morning at the North Valley Plaza and on Saturday morning at 3rd and Wall in downtown Chico. The Chico Certified Market, connecting farmers and food lovers since 1980.
The opinions voiced on Ecotopia do not represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters.
Here's our interview with Bernard Alonso. We have to advise, Bernard was not speaking in his native language, which is French, although he tells us he also grew up in Spain. It's a little bit difficult for us monolinguals to understand a few of the things that he says, but pay close attention, listeners. What Bernard has to say about human permaculture is well worth hearing.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological. I'm Stephen Chudy. Our guest tonight is Bernard Alonso. He's co-author with Cécile Guichon of a book called Human Permaculture. On this program, we've had several conversations with local permaculture practitioners who've described its organic approach to the earth. Bernard and Cécile have extended the concept to how people can create a life design.
I'm Susan Chudy. Bernard Alonso has been a permaculture practitioner since 1993, and he is the co-founder of the Collaborative International University of Transition, As a writer, facilitator, speaker, coach, project designer, he promotes the application of his human permaculture to people in search of change who wish to make sense of their actions to rebuild or build their own life design. He ordinarily resides in Quebec, Canada, but we're speaking to him in southern India. That's where he is, not us, where he is lodged during COVID-19. Welcome, Bernard Alonso.
Thank you for having me, Ecotopia. Yeah. So what can I tell you about? What you need to know about the human permaculture?
We wanted to ask a little bit of your autobiography. How did you started in permaculture in 1993. How did you get there? And then how did you get to human permaculture? And then we'll ask you about how it works.
All right. So 1993, first you have to know that I was... I was in the wrong niche. You understand, you, of course, speaking of permaculture, that we have a niche, and the niche that the school gave me was the wrong niche. And to please my parents and the society, I was in the wrong niche. So 1992, to make it short, I bought a farm without being a farmer. And it was 5,000 apple trees. And of course, for me, it was not, it was no discussion. It has to be, it was to be on that time organic. And it's like, it was very difficult to make organic. So I ran into permaculture thanks of one of my students that was doing a probation on fruit trees on my farm. And he told me, you know, Bernard, everything you say seems to be possible because Masanobu Fukuoka talks about the natural farming. So I first learned about Masanobu Fukuoka, and then he said, permaculture is existing. And I met Stewart Hill. He was then on the university, in McGill University in Montreal. But he was with his two suitcase in hands, leaving to go back to Australia. So that was so much for permaculture. So there was nobody talking about permaculture in Quebec in 1993. Only one left a few minutes ago. So what did I do? I wanted to know so much about that and how to apply it in my farm, 50 acres farm. And I got... Grégoire, a French-Canadian that moved in BC and had started permaculture 10 years ago or 8 years ago. And we got the first permaculture PDC design course on the farm. And then that's how it started. That's how permaculture is in my life. It saved me in agriculture. Then why human permaculture? I was receiving on that farm 10,000 children per year in a one-day visit, green school visit at the farm. So children were visiting by bus, coming at 10 in the morning, 9:30, 10, and would leave by 2:30, 3 o'clock, and spend 4 hours on the farm. And of course, I was showing them 8 little small activities about the nature, ecology, environment, organic, and I wasn't naming it permaculture. And that's how everything started.
And so can you tell us a little bit more about the premises and principles of permaculture, how it's being practiced now, and how you came to apply it to people?
All right. Permaculture is based on tree ethics by our pairs, David Holgrain and Bill Mollison. Tree ethics, people care, earth care, and fair trade. So that's, if you want to wear the hat of a permaculture, you have to apply in your life, not only in the garden, but on those tree ethics, you have to apply on these tree fields, you have to apply these ethics. And back in 1993, permaculture was mostly agriculture because one of the first principles is create a crop, create a yield. Because with no food, You cannot even think. You cannot build houses. You cannot socialize. You cannot do anything. So everybody in 1993 was doing design very properly with the David Olgan principle and Bill Mollison principles. And the human factor was little left aside. People care was not so much important. And after several years, from 1993 to 1997, 8, I realized that even though the design on the paper was great, there was always a difficulty or difficulties with the human interrelationship or the human attitude, because it's one thing to be natural in growing agriculture, but it's another thing to be natural in interrelationship. Since I was receiving those 10,000 children, I realized certain things that we are the patterns. And there was 9 different patterns or 9 different niches that it was obvious to see in those children, that they were never meeting each other, but they were acting exactly in the same way, with the same kind of question and attitude in the different steps of the 8 activities at the farm. And that rings the bell. And since I'm in Canada and we are very close to North Indian native, I find out that those North Indians knew that concept of niche, and they could apply it very young on the 2 years, 3 years old children, and look what niche, what field they were into, what were their talents, and how those talents could serve this the society or their clan or their tribe. So I start working on it, and how that's how raised the human permaculture, which is nothing else but applying natural law into the human life. And the only mistake the human is doing in this new society, it's not applying the natural life of this 3.8 billion years of planet. This planet there is life on this planet now for 3.8 billion years, and they're all working and applying the natural laws of this biosphere. We are the only species that are not doing this. And the big mistake is that most of the people in this society are not necessarily working in their own niche, expressing their own talent. And this is human permaculture. Tell me.
So could you say a little bit more about niches? We were going to talk about that a little bit later in the interview, but you've been using that term now.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more about niches and
yes.
how you find them and what they are?
All right. So in you see permaculture, whether it's human permaculture or eco-building, it's how we are mimicking nature. And that's why permaculture is so significant. It's because we are recovering from being too much intellectual, too much industrial, and we remember that we have to apply natural law. So the niche, the concept of niche, happens in the nature. It's Hutchinson, 1957, that created this vocabulary about niche, and it's used in permaculture. So in a design, every system working in my farm, in the society, in my enterprise, every system has a function. A niche, it's the function, it's the role that a system has in its ecosystem. So as human, because of this industrial world, we learn how to adapt, which is a very good thing. But you must not adapt for a lifetime. You must adapt for a transforming situation and then go back in your talent in your original function. So I created a test, and according to question and observing those children, and later on all the students coming at the farm for PDCs with Gregoire and later on with Dave Jakey and all those great people that were around me in permaculture to teach me all the bases, I start realizing that we are different profile, and they have 9 profile. It's very new. And those 9 profile are, you are born with a profile of 3 niches, let's say. 1 predominant, you all born with those 3 niches, and 2 that are serving a purpose. So this combination of 3 niches makes a unique person, the unique being you are, and you have a function to apply in this ecosystem.
Is it clear? Are there a limited number of niches, or do you have a category of niches?
There are. I mean, the system, it's in process, but I end up with 9 profile of niche. But okay. since you have 3 predominant, they could be a mixed, you know. And then you have a golden thread that makes you unique. So your profile, it's 3 niches and 1 golden thread. It's not easy to tell you all thing like that fast, but the golden thread, you see, it's a taste, a color that you have since you are born. Let's say I'm a a communicator Bernard is a communicator in its main niche. But I could have been a communicator, any kind of communicator. I could have been a sport communicator, ecology communicator, politics, and so forth and so on. So the golden thread, since my second niche is contemplative, I don't know the English translation. I should learn them by heart now. Contemplative, I'm very close to nature, so I cannot speak and being interesting if I speak about the nature. That's why I'm so successful in speaking about nature, whether it is human nature, horses nature, farm nature, etc. So because this is my color that I like. And since I was 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7, 12 years, I remember that nature was something that was attracting me. So both of you must have a golden thread, and most probably you are working in it. If you are very enthralled with what you do and it's exciting, when you are in your 3 niches predominant and this golden thread, then what happened? At the point, a mission will occur, and a mission will, and you have something to express in this very life.
So, could you name the 9 niches?
I could, but I would not like that you guys start choosing. In fact, we are too much in the left brain. This is one of the parts of human permaculture, you see. One reason we are in such a mess is because we are very young in this planet. We are one of the last species. And since we discovered that we have a left intellectual brain, we completely disconnected with our right brain. And we have to stop analyzing and looking for things with the left brain. We have to feel life, and you have to feel what is your niche. And I created a human permaculture test and design that one can do online, so, and it's free, and discover their own according to answers and not according to the left brain.
It sounds as if meditation might play an important role in finding your niche. Is that part of your program?
I'm not teaching meditation. I'm teaching how to get centered, how to have your left brain and right brain in balance. And then after, when you know how to reach this point, you can start a meditation or pray or whatever you are into. But I'm not getting into that part. Meditation, it's another step. My step is how to get my center. How do I get balance where equally I think and equally I feel? On that space, I have all the intuition needed to do the right choices in my life and to do the right action in the work I'm expressing.
Let's step back just a little bit and look at the kind of global concepts again for why the world is in the spot it's in and why we need human permaculture and how kind of the individuals can create that or can enact human permaculture to the good.
So let's picture it like that. 4.6 billion years, this planet appears. And from that time, 4.6 to 3.8, the mineral world is getting organized. Gases, oxygen, etc., etc. 3.8 billion years ago, the first life appears on this planet, the cyanobacteria. A bacteria made out of sun, water, I don't know, I'm not a specialist, but the first life. And since 3.8 billion years, this bacteria become plants, those plants become trees, algae, and so forth and so on. Every species was created by this, let's say, planet intelligence, let's call it that way, and creating life to create life and to create life and to create life. So, and we are all as you say in English, interdependent.
Interrelated. Interconnected, yeah.
Thank you. Interrelated. You have to help me out because the more I'm tired, the more the French is coming. So interrelated. So the mineral world is interrelated with the vegetarian world. And the vegetarian world with the animal and the animal with human. And with the visible world and the invisible world, everything is interconnected. The hands are interconnected with the roots, with the mushroom, the bees, with the flowers, and so forth and so on. It's like an immense puzzle of little ecosystem, all interlinked one to the other. Or here appear, so if you remove the 3.8 billion years for the exercise, you remove the dot, and let's say all this plan in all this life appear, and 38 years ago, men appear 4 months ago on this planet. You know, if you understand my metaphor,
yes.
Yes?
Yes.
So in 4 months, I'm tired to hear that humans are bad. They're not bad. They are ignorant. Ignorant of what? Because they are young, excited with this left brain. We are the unique species on this whole planet having such a great left brain. And did the mistakes of not applying the laws of nature. And that's why, as I said before, permaculture is so significant because it brings back this part, this very basis. We have to recover from that and learn how to apply, like every life in this biosphere is applying the laws of the nature. So, am I answering your question?
Yes, you are. I want you to keep going.
Yes.
So, why do we need it now? I mean, have we always needed it? Has there ever been a time when we weren't more connected or just experiencing the interconnection?
Mm-hmm.
Has that changed? Like with the Industrial Revolution, did that change? Or, you know,
yeah.
How did this disconnect occur?
Yeah, your question is the answer. In fact, it went worse and worse. I have the luck of the chance that I am living in Canada, and all the native opened up the way they were living. So 500 years ago, here we are coming in North America, and those people, they were living, applying the laws of nature. So I'm not saying permaculture, we have to go back and apply the laws of nature, but with the modern life, we have to apply the laws of nature. So after the war, that's how it became the worst. Since war made this industrial world and chemical world, we start, money became the goal of life instead of just expressing our life. Before, it was more or less according to certain country or certain tribes. They knew they had some awareness. You know, if you go around the world and the anthropology, you can see that many, many tribes had this deep knowledge, this wisdom of the earth. So we have to. So, how did we lose it? Well, we lost it by, I don't know. My observation would be by giving attention too much to money and losing the base of what is our purpose. Why 4 months ago, out of 38 years, why this intelligence of this biosphere created the human species? Because there is a need. You see, when the bees appeared, is because, I don't know how many thousand years ago, the bees appeared because flowers became, the sexuality of the flower became the male come in one side and the female in the other side. So there was a need of pollinization. So nature created the bees. I can give you hundreds of examples like that. So the human being appeared 4 months ago for a purpose. And everyone else, the purpose is to serve this biosphere. And we not serving the biosphere when we work for money and we work for creating consuming and working and working for consuming then in order to work more. This is, we lost completely the sense of the purpose of the human species on the earth and my personal purpose. I'm not here to have a job, have a good salary, and have a title of a business in my profile. I'm here to serve. To serve what? Like the bee serve, like the giraffe does, like the ladybird does. Every life serve the biosphere. And directly and indirectly, we have to serve. And this is what we have to reconnect with.
You're listening to Ecotopia on KCFR 90.1 Chico. And our guest is Bernard Alonso. And we're talking about human permaculture. So, Bernard, I have a question. You talk about the need to balance the brain, and there's either an irony or a contradiction, because on the one hand, you talk about us being too left-brain, but on the other hand, you set out these principles, which are very left-brain, and the niches, your categories of niches are very left-brain. So how do we get back to the... It seems that we need to follow your principles in order to have the balance that we need. So how do we get back to where, to that balance? Do we follow your principles? Do we, don't we need to know the niches for us to understand what it is we're going for?
Okay, I will give you the niches later on if you want.
Okay.
Just to please you, but it's not that I want to hide. I understand your point. In fact, you see, it's not that there is one brain good and one brain bad. We need both. Yes. It's like we have two hands, and we tied at school already at 4 or 5 years old. We tied up one arm behind the back, and we forgot that we have this arm, and we work with the other hand, though, so with the left. Let's pretend it like that to understand with the left brain. So we give too much priority to one brain and not enough to the other. So the left brain, it's how to analyze, it's math, numbers, logical, all this list of things we do in our society, right and wrong, good and bad. All this is left brain. And then we have the right brain that disturbs our society. Emotion, spirituality, art. I mean, if you're not in our society, if your name is not Michael Jackson, art is, we just look art as a money exchange. You see, this right brain has a purpose. It gives the intuition, and it goes back to the connection to all the other life. You need the right brain to be a good gardener. You see, that's how I learned it, thanks to permaculture, and not because of the principle. A good gardener, a good farmer, is someone that can connect with his animals, with the plants, with his land, with the sun, with the wind. And this is not a left brain tool that we have. But we need the left brain to open up the right brain, and we need the right brain to relax the left brain. So it's not what I'm teaching in my courses. I give weights to muscle up the right brain. And I'm not saying you have to slow down your left brain. We're not going to go back to Middle Age or to the North Indian natives. It's not the point. We still have computer. We still have our knowledge and everything. We can go to the moon. We did great. We accomplished great things. But this power of money is disturbing. So I'm not saying money is bad. Money is a tool, like a screwdriver. It's a tool. You know, for me, it's only that. But all the focus is made by this left brain, or, I have money, I don't have money. When I have money, I can do this permaculture things and everything. And it goes all the way around. When I express myself, I create abundance, and abundance is for me and for everyone. Abundance is not only money. Abundance is abundance of many different steps.
Could you talk a little more about the connection between the individual and groups of humans? I'm thinking about, once the individual has found his or her niche, do you find other people you can share your niche with? Can you help a group find their niche? And then I'm wondering whether humanity as a whole has a niche that it could discover.
Ah, yes. I can start by that if you wish, Stefan. Humanity's role, we are the only one, because the niche of the species, like the niche of the ants, or the niche of the bees, or the niche of the ladybugs, they have a role, a function as a species. So what could be the reason of this deep intelligence to have brought 4 months ago the human species? You see, Stefan, a tiger in Bengal, where I am now, cannot be other thing but a tiger. It doesn't have the choice to say, well, let's move to California, and instead of eating meat, we'll eat fish. And you see, we have that choice. We are the only species that in our life we can, and we have the capacity to create ecosystem. All the other ecosystems before us were created by this deep, let's call it mother nature intelligence. We can decide to change and look at the great world we made. Even the industrial world is a great experience. We created money. We created so many different things. But we forgot to apply the laws of nature. And that's what the right brain will put us back, because we are very young, only 4 months. When we'll be 12 or 15 or 20 years old, we'll be knowing all this, hopefully. So why, so Stefan, your question is, why, so the species has a role, and every human being has a role of conceptor designer. And this is one of the nine niche. Design conceptor, I think. I should, I don't have the English niche list, but you will look in the, in my book, it's very well translated. So what is the link between, yes, we can teach another, because, you know, you need another look now, especially when you get 30, 40, 60, you wear so much in one pattern, you need the other looking at you, people that don't know you, not your brother or your sister, your friend. New people that look and discover you, and they help you in those courses I give. I put people in three. So one is observed, and the two others are helping the one. And this is how you can give the feedback. You know, the niche express itself by the talents you always had. You were born with those talents. And this is your vocation. Can you say that in English, vocation? Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Most used for religion purpose, perhaps. But you are born with those talents since you were very young. And then society or family, or you have to and you must do, and you removed it.
I really like the notion you have of the zones. And you talk about starting with zone 00. Is that right? 00? Can you explain? So it sounds like you start with yourself, and then you move outward to encompass more of the world. Is that right? And can you explain that?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So you call that zone 00. And you see...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When the permaculture concept started with David Holgreen and Bill Mollison, there was no zone 00. The zone system in permaculture very quickly was made to save steps. So the zone 00 is the house. And you start your design from the house. And then zone 1 is what you need. Every day, let's say you need some medicinal plant, you need salad, you need so you put the system close to the zone 1, so you don't have to go work and to walk up and down. Let's say if you put the vegetable garden 1 kilometer away, you won't be able to, I exaggerate, to take good care of it. So that was the concept of zone. There are 5 zones taught by our pair. Then, I don't know exactly when, but in the 90s, this zone 0 popped up. They said, well, very good. Let's do a design for human being, but the design should be adapted to the human being living in this zone 0. For instance, if you are a farmer, or if you are a family with 3 children or 10 children, or if you are a teacher at the university, the time you have to give to your design and the time you have to give to your children and so forth and so on should be different. And so the live design should be adapted to this zone 00. So that's the meaning of the zone 00. But human permaculture goes a little one step deeper. Not only you have to adapt the design to the zone 00, but the design is to be created around the niche of the person living into that zone 00. You see, it's
yes,
in this niche. So then when it's not difficult, you know, if you wake up in the morning and, oh my God, it's Monday, I have to go to work, and it's awful, and this is you're not in your niche. When you are in your niche, you are in wow. You could do it for free. You're already ready to serve this niche because it's within yourself. You can't help it. So then life is not work. Life becomes an expression of this niche, and you really serve your ecosystem, and you can jump into it, create a design, and this is what I'm trying to talk about, creating a design around everyone. And if you, me and Stefan, have the same purpose, we will be attracted together to go in the same direction. And it's going to be pleasant to work each other in the same direction, and there will be less conflict, less difficulty. We will have abundance and so forth and so on. It's not a good story I'm counting. It's a natural story, because that's how a system is working. When it's functioning and every system in the ecosystem is expressing its niche, the system is balanced.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR. We're talking with Bernard Alonso about his book, Human Permaculture. It's published by New Society. We wanted to ask, Bernard, in the book you have several examples of how human permaculture can work. We wondered if you might talk about, there's the example of Paul, the artist who reforms his life, finds his niche. You also talk about the rural buyers co-op. And so an example of an individual, an example of a group that found their niche. Could you give us perhaps those examples or others from your experience working with people?
Yeah. Hello. This is very simple. In fact, when you start, and it's a very good question because it's in link with the previous. When you know who you are, job, you will look for a space where you can express yourself for the best of your talent. So this is when we learn the design of permaculture, how to organize the farm or how to organize a business concept, we try to put to serve a need. We look how to put every system serving the link ecosystem that will create energy, money, abundance, ever. So the example that I given was, we gave only three examples. One example was for an artist. So this is, those stories are real. Pierre Paul exists, in fact. He was a musician. He's been told by his parents that the father was a dentist, yet the father was an artist also. And the brother was an artist. This Pierre Paul, who had another name, was also an artist, was very talented with music, with guitar, with voice, with everything. And his father told him, well, you have, it's good, but this is for fun, being a musician. You must be find yourself a good job. So as a good father, he took him to university, and Marc-André, Pierre-Paul became an engineer in some foresting. So he was working in the town of Montreal, taking care of the trees of the city, and he was dying. So he took this course with me, and he said, well, I have to accept I am a musician. So he created a design. He started creating a team around him. There are steps that you can learn with Aubrey Nire Redim in my book. You have to observe boundaries, resources, evaluation, and so forth. And so you have steps. And then he came, he had a group around him, and then he started a design. So he find himself a little job serving, let's say, delivering fast food 3 days a week and working 4 hours a week in his music. Not even 10 years, but he started working in his music, and now he's living from with music, and he's in a very famous band in Quebec. So I give an example of a group living together and an enterprise also. And of course, you have to go by steps, but the beauty of it is that an ecosystem in this planet is always functioning the same thing. It's a niche. It's an intention and it's needs. So you have needs to fill up your niche, you know, as a communicator in ecology, environment, I have some material needs and I have an intention. And so the intention needs certain things. So it's like a triangle. And you can observe and create a direction of your ecosystem that we call the design, and which obviously you will reach your goal. Am I answering your question?
Yes, I think yes. You did answer the question.
All right, good, because sometimes I get excited. I want to tell everything and...
all at once.
Yeah, that's right.
Toward the end of your book, the last couple of sections of your book, you talk about caring for the earth and caring for people, and you talk about a lot of stuff here: food, water, soil, biodiversity, forests, omnivorism. You suggest that we need to become, your readers, all of us need to become artisans of change. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by artisans of change? What are some of the guiding principles of artisans?
All right.
This kind of artisanship.
Yes. Is it good in English, artisan? I hope the new society translated it. Artisans is the one that start with nothing and create some something and show it to the others. That's how this artisan makes. So we have to change. And changing is not that painting my clothes in green and wearing a green t-shirt. It's also permaculture invite us to look the impact I'm doing when I eat, when I drink, when I flush the toilet, when I use paper toilet, when I consume, when I use my car, when I drive. And this part should be, as it was my partner in this book, which is not my partner in life, Cécile Guichon, is a famous journalist in France. And she wrote for very good and very famous ecologist magazine, Le Journal Le Monde, The World. And she created this part. You see, we had our field in co-creating this book. So Cécile said, it's impossible just, first you change you. So Bernard is coming with the, I change myself in applying, in knowing my niche and knowing who I am. And then how do I serve in this world? That's the design. But also in living every day, I have to move and to grow my food and to buy my food and to use water. And that's how Cécile came with talking about the soil, talking about the water, and talking about the food, how to eat. We have to stop eating so much meat. Every 20 minutes, there is 72 field of football field. 72 football field of forest that are cut because we are eating so much meat. So she said eating, she gave other possibilities like eating insects, eating algae, eating in a different way. The book not only is telling you how to transform yourself, it also give you tracks and suggestions in order to modify the way you are impacting the planet from your gesture.
We only have a few minutes more, and I just want to make sure that there's something that we're curious about. What are you doing in northern India? Southern India, sorry. How did you get there, and what are you doing, and do you ever get to come back?
Oh, yes. I'm blocked still with the lockdown. And there was no flight. They were not allowing any flight from India in another place, or from Asia in another place of the world. So now we're starting to have flight, and I will be able to go back to Quebec. So I have a design life, you see. I live a certain time of my life in Quebec on my farm in Frélisberg. And then in the way back in India, and I tell you why I'm in India after, I stopped in Europe teaching human permaculture and teaching teachers. And then I do the same thing in the return. I stop. That's why I created international human permaculture, so we can spread these significant and useful tools of human permaculture and permaculture. And in India, I was invited 10 years ago by an ashram there to install a mechanism of permaculture. So the farm in Rougemont was sold. I had to sell it. And not because we were in difficulties, because somebody else came up. And I was doing too much things that, you know, it's a long story, but I don't want to go into it. But for the good, I sold it. I was stuck in a situation and I sold it to get rid of. So I was free. So I went in India and I loved it. I saw our social, you know, we think India is poor, but the social life in and we are getting them more and more industrial. The industrial, unfortunately, but 10 years ago I could see some wisdom there and some way to learn how to communicate with this other right brain that we have, and further down to meditation. So I kept helping Auroville. You know, Auroville is one of the oldest 50 years community. And I truly believe that this human species we are, we should live in community, because we are social mammals and we have to live and work in groups. There is a cost, a social cost in living alone in my little apartment on the 14 stories in the city. There is a great impact. It's a cost of flushing, of having 10 family, 10 washing machine, 10 TV, 10 cars, 10 so forth and so on. So in living in small group, and Denmark, Danish, have proved it since the 1970s in living in those co-housing system. In a family of four, one of the parents have to work only 2 days and a half outside to create a living on the family, living in a co-housing. So we have to transform little by little. And I had to transform because I don't have that background. I had my own apartment, my own car, my own washing machine, and do what I want when I want. You see, I was brought up like everyone else. And I'm learning here in India, that's why I'm coming back, how to transform myself. When I transform, the world around me will transform. You see, it's not that only waiting that, oh, when the government, when Trump or First Minister of Canada or whatever country will change. No, no, no. First, it has to come from bottoms up, from down to up. We have to, as society, change in our behavior day to day, the way I am eating, the way I am using. You see, I'm not using anymore. In India, you don't use a toilet with water. You don't do your I don't know how to say, clean up our backside, and we shit, we poo in the pure water. This is going to be a real joke. And we are still doing that since the Roman, you see. So we have to go back from far, and one step at a time.
Bernard, your work is inspirational to us, both your work on the ground, you've worked with thousands and thousands of people all over the globe, but also the philosophy developed in your book, which we highly recommend. Listeners, the book is Human Permaculture. It's published by New Society. Our guest has been Bernard Alonso, the author of this book. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us on Ecotopia.
Thank you. Thank you, both of you. And I hope the English world is ready. Now that the French world is working on it, the English world is ready for this human permaculture. Yes. I'll be glad to come and visit you somewhere, sometime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was our interview with Bernard Alonso. Delightful interview. We do hope he comes to Chico one of these days to talk about human permaculture. Coming up in 6 minutes on KZFR, it's Radioactive with Ginger Nichols.
Steve and I are making plans to do a series of shows that we are calling Radical Change. It seems that the series of events that have shattered us over the past couple of years, the fire, then COVID, and then the shooting of George Floyd, and then the reaction to that, that's really raised people's consciousness about systemic racism in this country, that all of those events are creating a shift for us. We're beginning to see that we do need to make some basic changes. And so we are planning a series in which we want to look at radical change. What kinds of radical change do we need in health and health care? What kinds of radical change do we need in policing? What kinds of radical change do we need in race relations and the treatment of African Americans and Native peoples and Latino people? What kinds of radical change do we need in our conceptions and use of water? What kind of radical change do we need in looking at climate and making huge changes to protect the environment? If you know people, if you think that in homelessness and housing and all of these other big issues that are plaguing us on a regular basis, if you know someone who can speak to these issues that you think can talk about radical change, or if you are that person, could you please make contact with us? Our email address is ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com. We would like to have suggestions about how we can address radical change and who can best address it.
You've been listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, technological. Be sure to visit our website for notes on our shows, recordings of recent programs, plus an ever-growing list of resources provided by our guests. The web address is ecotopiakzfr.com. We welcome your comments and suggestions, especially about radical change. Send us an email at ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Here's the Permi song.
When the sorriest in all the world is getting to you, apocalyptic prophecies seem more and more true. You can't just one.